Namaste, my dears. Hello and welcome. This is episode 73 of the Sun Rose Yoga Podcast. Today we have a full-length 75-minute class. This is all levels, recorded live at my Saturday morning Hatha Flow class at the People's Yoga Southeast. Yeah, we go into some really juicy shoulder work here, so I hope you enjoy that. Please do stop by sunroseyoga.com for photos of the postures, videos, lovely connections between other yogis, and lots more good stuff. As always, I am very grateful for your support. Namaste. Begin by finding a seat, a luminous seat, a seat you can commit to for the next few moments, for the next few breaths, and take your time to find your seat. Once you have arrived, allow your eyes to close. Maybe just settle back into your sitting bones just a little bit. Bring your shoulders back in space. Bringing a little release to your sacrum. Taking a moment to scan your body, noticing any places that feel tight. Noticing any places that feel sticky. And rather than judging them or judging yourself, remembering that simply by bringing your awareness to those places, by bringing your attention, your conscious breath to those spaces, you're letting go of tension. Begin to allow your inhalations to lengthen your spine, beginning at the base of your spine, lengthening through the low and mid back, lifting that space between the shoulder blades. Feeling the back of your neck lengthen as the back of your skull just presses back in space just a little bit, almost as though someone were holding it there for you and you're pressing the back of your head into someone's hand. Begin to allow your exhalations to soften your body. To soften the hips, the knees and feet, to soften the belly, to soften the upper back and shoulders, to soften the face. Thank you.
yourself to become aware of where your body sits in space. If your mind begins to wander, that's okay. That's normal. You're normal. Just whenever you become aware of your mind drifting to other thoughts, to other things, to other feelings, simply guide it back to your breath, to your awareness of where your body is in space. Gently bring your palms together at your heart for Anjali Mudra, the gesture of offering. And if it helps for you, if it works for you, set an intention for your practice. It can be anything. And do so at this time. Let's just begin our practice by offering up one big, beautiful Om, the vibration of oneness, the sound of the universe. We'll take a full cycle of breath together before we begin. Deep breath in. And out. And in. Slowly bring yourself to a cross-legged seated position. Still, you can sit up on something if that works for you. And we'll just bring our hands to our knees or our shins or our thighs, whatever works. And we'll begin as you breathe in by pressing the heart forward and shifting the gaze up. And as you breathe out, just roll back, round your spine and gaze at your belly. And again, as you breathe in, arch the back and look up. And as you breathe out, round the spine, look at the belly. Now follow your own breath here, letting your in and out breaths begin and end the movements. Letting the movements sort of languish over the length of your breath. There's no need to change anything about your breathing. No need to change anything about the way your body moves in this way. If it works for you, you can begin to make this movement a bit more circular. Still exhaling, rolling back. Inhaling, pressing forward. Just making some movements around the base of the spine. Again, noticing if anything becomes tight or tense. and resolving not to judge that. Everyone has tightness. Everyone has tension. A lot of this is caused simply by the way our bodies are put together. And there's no need to resist that. Making sure you switch directions when that feels right for you. Beginning to make those movements a little bit closer to the spine, to the point where it barely looks like you're moving. Maybe to the untrained eye, it appears as though you're not moving, until finally you're back at that center. As you breathe in, let's sweep the arms out to the sides and up overhead. Just make your body as long as possible. Even bring your shoulders up by your ears. And then as you breathe out, turn your palms to face the earth and bring your arms out to T. So they're parallel to the earth and perpendicular to your spine. And now we're really going to firm the arms. So you're going to shine out into those spaces between your fingers and then sort of isometrically press down into your hands. Yeah. Now relax a little bit. Soften it back. Now we'll hug the shoulders, the shoulder blades, so you're drawing them down your back and softening in the space between. And then press your palms down again. And now relax, release your hands. As your next in-breath comes through your nostrils, sweep the arms up toward the sky. And we'll hook the thumbs. Now, feel your back ribs sort of lifting, climbing up your back. And at the same time, drop the shoulders away from the ears. Draw them down nice and slow. Yeah. Now, with all of your might, see if you can try to pull your thumbs apart. So it's like we're pulling our outer upper arms away from each other. And then again, we'll draw the shoulder blades down the back. Yeah. One more breath here. And as you exhale, release your hands down to your side. Good. Now give your shoulders a little shimmy, a little shake. And we'll do that one more time. As you breathe in, sweep the arms out and up overhead. And this time, hook your thumbs the other direction. The other thumb is sort of on top, if you will. And again, we'll lift the back of the body, lift the back ribs, lift the shoulders, and then draw the shoulders away from the ears. Draw your shoulder blades down your back, and then pull your thumbs apart. Yeah. One more beautiful breath here. And exhale, release. Nice. Let's bring the hands in front of the shins. Walk them as far forward as feels right for you. Your sitting bones can come up off the floor as much or as little as you like, and let the crown of your head be heavy. You might want to roll from left to right on your forehead or on your hairline. And And then we'll begin to walk our hands over to the right. Getting some nice length through the left side body. Continue to relax your head, relax your neck. Let your left sitting bone really feel gravity. We'll slowly walk the hands back to center before walking them over to the left. Notice any differences between how you feel on side one and side two. And slowly come back to center, spreading your fingertips wide. Let's roll to hands and knees, all fours, Chakravakasana, table pose. We'll place the wrists just beneath the shoulders with your index fingers pointing straight ahead. Place your knees right below your hips. Just make some movements with your hips here, maybe rocking them back, rolling them forward. Moving in whatever way gives you a little freedom in your very low back. Good, and then slowly come back to center to a neutral spine. And spread the fingertips wide. You might even want to claw your fingertips into the floor, really to, I was going to say jazz up your hands, but I don't even know what that means, so enliven your hands, and then press the length of each finger into the earth, so the backs of those knuckles are just pressing in. Good. And we'll take a long breath here. As you exhale, curl your toes under, tuck your toes under, and lift the hips, lift the knees, coming to downward facing dog. Adho Mukha Svanasana. Now move your body in this posture in whatever way feels natural, in whatever way supports the space that your body is in right now. Shoulders begin to just soften away from your ears. Your shoulder blades begin to draw down your back, just as they did when we practiced those sort of arm firming exercises. Your weight sort of shifts back into your sitting bones here, into the back of the body. I feel as though you could almost push yourself away from the floor with your hands. Good, now as you breathe in, let's step the right foot forward between your hands. And you can help it if it needs some help. Now when we're in this lunge position, we want to make sure that the knee is directly over top of the ankle and not sort of out in front of the ankle. Good. Nice high lunge. Let's begin by firming our legs. So you may wish to sort of bend your back knee just a touch to bring some energy back into your muscles before bringing the hands to the top of your right thigh. Then to your heart center. And now as you breathe in, circle sweep the arms around and up overhead, reaching up through your pinkies. Now again, relax your shoulders away from the ears. Draw the shoulder blades down the back. Good. Breathe in here. Let's just take in a couple of nice breaths in Anjaneyasana. And fingertips forward and down to earth, and make your way back to downward facing dog on an exhalation. The right foot steps back, the hips float high to the sky, and your gaze is either toward your heart center or to that space between your feet. Sometimes having the feet hip distance or farther apart can be really nice here. Sometimes your body wants them closer, and I'm not going to argue with what your body wants here. Now let's inhale the knees back down to earth. And as you exhale, let your hips drop back, resting your bum on your heels or near your heels, and the forehead on the floor in Bhaktasana, devotional pose. Now we're really working on opening through our shoulders and upper back today. Let's walk the fingertips as far forward as they'll go with your body, so your lower body where it is. It just feels a nice lengthening here. Good. I see nice softening between the shoulder blades too. Wonderful. Remember, this is a place that you can come back to anytime throughout your practice, throughout our time together, if ever you need to sort of reconnect with your breath, your body, your intention. Let your inhalation bring you back to table slowly, all toes, hands and knees. Let your exhalation tuck the toes under, lift the hips to downward facing dog. Adho Mukha Svanasana. Drawing your shoulder blades toward the hips. Drawing, yeah, nice, the tops of the shoulders away from the ears. And on an inhalation, step your left foot forward to Anjaneyasana. You can always lower the back knee down to the earth if that feels right for your body. Good. Now take your time, bringing the hands to the top of your left thigh, to the heart center. And then sweeping up on an in-breath. Take your time, follow your breath. We can really feel the power in our front leg. Let's tap into the power of the back leg, maybe by micro-bending that knee, and just imagining a ray of energy shooting out through your right heel, just running sort of parallel to the earth. Find a little softness in your face. Find kind of like that Mona Lisa, somewhat happy Buddha face, like just that sort of neither here nor there softness. We'll inhale, reach the fingertips forward and down to earth. And this time as you exhale, step your right foot forward to meet the left, stepping about the feet about hip width distance or farther apart. Let the crown of the head become heavy as you hang. Now, if it works for your body, potentially grasp opposite elbows with your hands. If you'd rather just grab the backs of your legs or do some other configuration, maybe bring your hands behind your head. Just loosen up here. Release any sort of expectations for your forward fold. The yoga just do what it's going to do. Maybe swaying from left to right. And from here, release your hands. Take a slight bend of the knees and bring your hands to the tops of your thighs. And as you breathe in, use the strength of your legs, use your arms to bring yourself all the way up with a flat back. Good. And let's come into Tadasana, mountain pose. Your ankles are right beneath your sitting bones, or your feet can also be touching, whatever works for your body. Your tailbone is slightly tucked under, so you really feel gravity on your coccyx, on the lowest part of your spine. The arms are hanging from your sides intentionally, so there's a little bit of brightness to them. The heart is lifting, the collarbones are spreading. Drawing your shoulder blades down your back. Hugging your inner shoulder blades toward each other. And then tucking the chin just ever so slightly. Press the back of your skull back as though someone's hand were just right there, just opening the throat just a touch. Now, this looks so simple from, again, the untrained eye, the outside world, but the juice, the goodness of Tadasana is that it really teaches us an appreciation for something that looks so simple. It looks like something we do all day long. There's a lot more going on there. Now, with your next breath in, let's turn the palms out and then sweep them up toward the sky, gazing up at your thumbs. Take a slight bend in the knees as you exhale and dive forward. Uttanasana, forward fold. Now either with hands on the earth or the shins, bring your back up halfway so that you're parallel with the earth. And exhale, fold. Now as you breathe in, step your right foot back, bracing yourself with your hands on the earth. Let's lower the right heel to the earth and bring the upper body up to Virabhadrasana 2, Warrior 2. The left knee is bent, the right leg is straight and strong. Arms are parallel to the earth. We're just gazing down those left fingertips. Okay, now this is another spot for us to just let your tailbone be heavy. Sometimes our natural inclination is to really stick out our belly and stick out our booty here. And over time, that can cause a little weakness through the mid to low back. So see if instead you can just isolate your tailbone and let it become a little heavier. Let it feel gravity. Good. Spine is nice and long. Taking some beautiful breaths here. And as you breathe out, begin to hug your shoulders down your back. Hug the shoulder blades together. And at the same time, let's shine out through the spaces between the fingers. And now on an in-breath, release your right hand back, maybe to your right thigh, and extend your left hand skyward, and then turn your palm to face the wall behind you. So it's facing the right side of your body. Good. Let's find some length in both sides of the ribs here. You obviously feel it through the front ribs, and sometimes that means you have a tendency to kind of fall into the back. See if we can find a little bit of a lift through there as well. As your heart lifts, the collarbones spread. And again, we hug those shoulder blades down the back. Yeah, reverse warrior, exalted warrior. Now as you inhale, cartwheel the hands toward earth. And as you exhale, step back to downward facing dog. Ah, we'll take a full breath in here. Just luxuriate in the length of your spine. And as you exhale, feel your inner thighs pressing toward that wall behind you. And on an in-breath, we'll slowly lower the knees to the earth, to table pose, chakra bakasana. We're going to slowly make our way into plank, sort of the yogic push-up, and we'll do it one leg at a time. Let's begin sort of by firming our hands, maybe clawing the fingertips into the earth before extending them completely. We'll extend that right leg straight behind you, tucking the toes under, shining out through the heel. Let your hips shine down toward the earth, and let your gaze shift forward on the floor, maybe 1 foot to maybe 2 feet. Now see if you can soften that space between the shoulder blades. And now from here, if it feels right for your body, do the same with the left foot. Press it back. If this seems inaccessible or unsafe, lower the knees slowly to the floor so that you've got the support of your knees for your low back. Good. Now, let's take this posture that perhaps you've floated through thousands of times if you've done some vinyasa work, and let's see if we can tap into something new here. Feel your fourth, feel your fifth toes pressing into the earth. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Good. Now shine out through the heels. Really engage your legs by pressing out through the heels. The inner thighs are floating up as you do that. Let's take one more breath in here. And as you exhale, lower your knees, your belly, and your chest down to the earth. Come all the way down to the floor. Good. Bring your elbows right underneath your shoulders. So setting up for Sphinx pose. Your forearms will run parallel to each other right out onto the floor. Now, press the tops of the feet into the floor. Press your pelvis into the floor. Engage your hands. And slowly begin to pull your belly toward your hands. And your hands toward your belly. Good. Now again, here, see if you can soften that space between your shoulders. Beautiful. By pressing the tops of the feet into the floor, by engaging your pelvis, by pressing the pelvis intentionally into the floor, we protect our low back. We bring this into the upper back. Good. Now let your weight go back into your elbows and just sort of shift from left to right here. Good. Now, I'm going to move slowly into Bhujangasana, Cobra pose, by drawing your hands, maybe one hand length closer to your body. Good. And we'll just sort of tuck them in and come on down. All right. Tops of the feet press into the earth. Pelvis presses into the earth. Now, as you inhale, pull your belly toward your hands as you slowly peel your chest from the earth. Good. Now, this is a pulling action, almost like you're just sort of scooching yourself up, not pushing yourself away from the floor. This will, again, really help sort of maintain long-term health in your lumbar. Good. Now, full breath in here. As you breathe out, look over your right shoulder. As you breathe in, come back to center. And as you breathe out, look over your left shoulder. Inhale back to center. And exhale, lower all the way down. Maybe rest one cheek on the earth. Come to a place that's comfortable. Good. Arm position, whatever works for you. Sometimes I do some physical adjustments in this class, especially when we're resting, and if you would not like that, you just place your hand maybe on your low back right now, or behind your head, if that happens to you. Good. Now, just feel some sort of deep release through the low back, through the mid back, through the upper back. And while we are down here on the floor, with our bellies down, let's do some opening of the shoulders, some even more opening of our shoulders. So we'll begin by coming back to our elbows. Just sort of in a very, like, you can even lift your feet if you'd like to release any strain on your low back. Good. So where we're going is we're going to sort of walk the right hand forward just a little bit on the floor, just so that there's space underneath there. And then we're going to lift our left hand up and turn the palm to face the sky and slide it underneath. Good. Now we'll come to rest on the left shoulder. Now from here, walk your right fingers forward as far as they'd like to go before resting your left temple on the floor. With your legs, you can either just rest them, sort of tops of the feet resting into the floor. You can bend the knees, or if you'd like, sort of bring your right knee out to the right so that your inner knee is pressing into the floor, so that your instep of the right foot is connected to the floor. It's sort of like a half frog. Yeah. Now you might notice over the course of the next few breaths that you can access something more, something deeper in your shoulders. And feel free to move into those places as it feels right for your body. If you've positioned your legs in a version of belly down tree or frog, send some softness into the hips. Now we'll slowly begin to walk the right hand back closer to your face. If your legs have moved, bring them back to that just sort of basic pelvis down, tops of the feet down position. Press your right hand into the earth as you slowly unwind here. We'll give the shoulders a little bit of a shift. Now, to work the other side of the shoulder, let's walk our left hand out to the left so that it is perpendicular to the spine. Now, from here, we'll place our right hand right underneath the shoulder. And we'll just turn our body in whatever increment feels right to face sort of that right side. You can roll onto the left hip if that feels right. If it feels right for you, you can lift your right foot up, step it up and over so that the sole of the foot is pressing into the floor, right about in front of your left kneecap. Use your body here both to protect and to deepen this in whatever way feels right. You can use it sort of like, yeah, get to the meat. Beautiful. really pressing your right foot into the floor, maybe even rolling back into your right hip as you do so. We'll unroll on an in-breath. Now, as long as we're sort of here, let's extend our left hand out onto the floor and rest your head on your arm. We'll roll sort of onto the left hip. This is to me sort of like, I don't know, a classic jumping off position for many postures. Let's bend the right knee and grasp the top of your right foot behind you. Good. So the knees are very close together. Sorry, I didn't say that very clearly. The knees are very close together. The foot is sort of behind your body. Grasp the top of that foot. Good. If that does not work for your body, I'll bring you a strap. Good. Now from here, as you breathe in, begin to roll the right hip forward. Let that sort of fall toward earth in front of you as you draw your heel away from your bum here. So this is a balancing posture as well as a back bending. Beautiful. Hand is kicking or is drawing into the foot with as much force as the foot is kicking into the hand. Wonderful. Now, broaden through the collarbones. Draw the shoulders away from the ears. Now, over the course of the next few exhalations, begin to draw your heel back toward your bum, draw your knees back together, and release your grasp on that hand. Good. Before we proceed to our second side, let's come onto the back, drawing your knees toward your chest, maybe separating them and holding onto your inner calves or outer thighs or the instep of your feet, rocking from side to side. Just taking good care of the low back. Good. So you can let go through your face, through your cheeks. And we'll slowly, over the course of the next few breaths, make your way back to your belly. And this time we'll walk our left fingertips forward on the floor, lifting up just enough so that we can slide our right arm underneath the left arm with the palm facing the sky. Coming to rest on the right shoulder, coming to rest on the right temple, walking the left fingertips forward on the floor, and then perhaps bending the left knee, and either taking a sort of half frog or belly down tree pose. Whatever feels right there, it allows you some access to your inner and outer hip, to the very lowest part of your back. It's really wringing out any tension here that you might be carrying in your upper back. Inhale, slowly walking your hand back, your left hand closer to your face, pressing that hand into the earth and just unwinding on an in-breath. Now we'll extend that right arm out to the right so that it's perpendicular to the spine. Pressing your left palm into the earth just about at shoulder height. Maybe resting your right cheek on the floor and rolling on to your right shoulder. Maybe rolling onto your right hip. Maybe bending your left knee and stepping that foot forward, like up and up across the body. Just at about the height of your right knee. Using the left hand, using the left foot to really access some nice opening through the shoulders. And once you are there, see if you can find a place of softness between the shoulder blades. Some softness. Softness in the face. Over the course of the next few breaths, slowly release that left knee to the earth. It's lifted. Slowly come back to your belly. Let's take that right hand and extend it straight up overhead and roll onto your right side. Now again, here, we'll keep the knees together. We'll bend the left knee so that your foot sort of extends behind you. Reach back with our left hand and grasp the top of that left foot or your strap. And we'll take a nice full breath in here. Knees close together to protect them. And then begin to shift your weight forward, sort of into your chest, into your left hip, as you draw your left foot away from your bum. It's really kicking into your left hand, getting a nice bend of the back here in Ardha Dhanurasana. Any differences between side one and side two? Just notice them. Side one and side two do different things for us throughout the day, particularly if you don't write with both hands. They'll feel different amounts of tension and openness. Slowly release this stretch on an exhalation. And again, come to your back. Either hug the knees to your chest, or again, find some version of happy baby that feels right for you, where the knees are separated. We're drawing those knees toward the armpits. And maybe hugging the soles of the feet or hugging the insides of your calves or the outsides of your thighs. Just Beautiful. Now, as it feels right for you, we're going to roll again to our bellies. Bringing your hands right underneath your shoulders. Tucking the toes under. As you breathe in, slowly make your way back to table. And as you breathe out, make your way to downward facing dog. Now we'll take this downward facing dog to a twisted place. And so on an in-breath, we'll lift up our right hand off the floor. And on an out-breath, maybe grasp the outside edge of your left leg, either at the thigh, the calf, or the ankle, depending on what feels right for your body. Now that left hip is going to want to scooch forward in space. Make sure you press both sitting bones back. Now, we could just call this twisted downward facing dog, but I really like to call this one koala bear. Because it feels sort of like something, like a little koala bear just hanging from a tree. And because it's very challenging, and I need something when I'm practicing it to make me sort of feel a little more lighthearted. Good, now just gazing underneath that left armpit. Let's inhale back to center. And as you exhale, we'll twist the other way. Pick up our other hand, reach across the body. And when we twist, we are just sort of wringing out any tension that might have accumulated in our muscles, in our organs, in our energy body, our subtle body over the week. And the breath, sort of the water, the soothing, cooling water that just rinses that sponge clean. Coming back to center on an in-breath. Maybe exhale audibly. Just let it out. And now as you breathe in, let's step the right foot forward for side two of our Virabhadrasana. We'll lower the left heel to earth. We'll rise. Shining out the spaces between the fingers. Letting yourself lengthen from the base of the spine all the way beyond the crown of your head. Finding the intention of your breath, your placement in space. Maybe just easing up on the intensity just a little bit. So you just sort of like loosen up your face. Like you do not need to hold any sort of facial expression. Soften through the scalp. Good. Now as you breathe in, begin to release your left hand back to your left thigh, extending the right hand skyward. Lifting through the heart, smiling through the collarbones, lengthening both of the side bodies, both of your the sides of your body through your ribs, lifting up, lengthening. And as you exhale, come back to Warrior Two, Virabhadrasana Two. As you inhale, cartwheel the hands to earth. Let's exhale to downward facing dog. We'll inhale the knees back to the floor for table. And slowly make your way back to plank in our newly practiced form where you step one foot back, step the other foot back. You really find your fourth and fifth toes on each foot. We'll take a couple of complete breaths here as you shine out through your heels. And as it feels right for you, lower your knees, your belly, and your chest down to the earth. Beautiful. Now come all the way down. Turn your toes out so that your insteps are touching the earth. You can step your feet a little bit wider. And rest your forehead on the earth and your cheek on the earth. And you can bring your hands to wherever it feels right, either at your sides or if you'd like to stack your palms and rest your forehead in a crocodile. And slowly release the low back, the mid back, the upper back. Again, noticing if there's any sort of tension or tightness that still exists. Allow your breath to flow to those places. To simply soften them. And slowly make our way again to the back. Take your time. Disturb not your inner peace. But as we we're making our way toward that, but we're going to be practicing shoulder stand today, and then I thought we would use the wall in halasana. So we're going to turn our head so it is at the wall side of your mat. You don't need to be straight up against the wall right now with any part of your body, but just sort of be conscious that that's where we're going over the next few postures. You will need a block for the next few moments, and you may wish to also use your blanket, just sort of depending on how you like to practice shoulder stand. And your history of your neck. So, we have many options. Do I have anyone in this room who has a neck injury that prevents them from sort of practicing shoulder stand without some concerns? Anyone? Okay. All right. This is not a worry, it's just something that I have lots more options for folks with neck stuff. Okay, good. Let's come to the back, bending the knees, bringing the soles of the feet to the floor. And now on an in-breath, press your feet into the earth as you lift your hips, your low, mid, your upper back. And then we'll bring the block underneath the sacrum. So underneath that very low part of your spine, the bone is shaped sort of like a triangle, an inverted triangle pointing down. And take some time to experiment with the block. I think that having it so the widest part is sort of perpendicular to the spine is good, rather than parallel to the spine. You can have it in its highest position, its middle position, its lowest position, sort of depending on what feels right for you. And take your time. So we'll begin here, and we'll just sort of experiment with our gaze, which is straight ahead. So we're pressing the back of our head very naturally into the earth. The neck is not pressing into the earth. We're not weakening the cervical spine. If you're here and you find your neck sort of naturally flattens into the floor, I would ask you to come out and elevate your shoulders on a blanket. And if you're coming out, I will show you exactly how to do that. Good. Now from here, lift your ribs. So draw your back ribs toward the front of your body. Now as you do that, you might find your heart poofs or puffs toward your chin. So we're bringing our chest toward our chin, not our chin toward our chest. Now draw the heads of your arms or the tops of the shoulders a little bit underneath your body. Good. You may turn your palms up here, or if it feels right, your hands might just sort of rest near your heels. Now, if this feels good for you, as you inhale, draw your right knee toward your chest, and then extend your right foot toward the sky. And we'll just shine out through the ball of that foot, engaging your leg. Now, come back to your upper body. Draw your ribs toward the front of your body, so you're engaging again, bringing your chest toward your chin, pressing the tops of the shoulders into the earth, maybe feeling the back of the head engaging toward the earth. Now, over the course of the next exhale, with a straight leg, slowly release your right foot all the way back down to the earth for some nice stretching through the pelvis and through the sacrum. Good. Full breath in. Full breath out. Now, I'll slowly bend that right knee and bring it back to sort of a neutral position, the bridge, supported bridge position. Now as you breathe in, draw your left knee toward your chest, and then extend the left foot toward the sky, really engaging that leg, sort of maybe finding a flex or a point or a floint that feels right for your body. So our legs really help us draw upward in our inversions. So it's not like we're just sinking into the earth. We're feeling a nice lift. And now slowly over the next exhalation, release your left foot all the way down to the floor if that feels comfortable on your low back. Good. Now if you'd like to try this with both legs straight, hold on to your block a little bit and extend your right leg as well. That can be a little intense on the low back, depending on the height of your block, but sometimes that feels nice. And just come back to your neutral, supported bridge whenever you are ready. Good, now let's come back to our basics here. We're drawing the back ribs into the front of the body so that the heart poofs toward the chin. We've got the shoulders tucked underneath our body, maybe pressing the palms into the earth so that our arms are active. Gazing straight ahead, let's lift one knee, extend that leg toward the sky. If this feels safe, if this feels good, feel free to lift the other foot and extend that leg as well. Good. Now, engage your feet by sort of coming to that space between a flex and a point where you're just shining out through the balls of the feet. Good. Yeah, so you're still resting on, yeah. Good. The heart is drawing toward the chin. The gaze is just straight ahead, so you have like a very natural chin, like you're just standing, talking to someone, not looking down, not looking up, just looking straight ahead. Good. Necks look great. Now we'll slowly draw the knees toward the chest, and then slowly release the feet one at a time to earth. Lift up on the hips just enough to move your block out of the way. And then draw your knees toward your chest and rock from side to side. Come all the way back down. Good. Good. Now we're going to put all of that work, that shoulder opening, all of this very intentional breathing and leg work into shoulder stance, Sarvangasana. If you do not feel like today is your day to come into this posture, the queen of the asanas, then I invite you to come back to where we just were, or to come to legs up the wall, Ikarita Karani. Or another version of that where you're legs are, or your sacrum is supported by your block and your legs are just extending toward the sky. Otherwise, let's sort of set up for shoulder stand. Now with the blanket, do you like to use it under your shoulders? Okay, good. Well then just make sure that your head is off so that you've got that nice support. If the head is then you're more likely to crash. Yeah, exactly. But feel free, as always, for folks who don't know me, this is your first class, this is our yoga lab. So if we try something and it doesn't work, come on out and we'll shake it up again. There's nothing that says that just because you've done something one way means you have to stay there or that you have to do it that way every time. Good, so a great way to come into your shoulder stand is to just come to your back. We'll intentionally press the palms in, and you can either watch this first go around or you can do it with me if you're unsure. Press the palms into the earth, press the back of the head into the earth, press the shoulders into the earth. And then we'll intentionally draw the knees toward the chest. Taking a full, beautiful breath here. As you breathe out, press your hands into the floor. Hoist your hips up over your shoulders, legs extend behind you. Then we'll scooch the shoulders underneath the body. Just scooch, scooch, scooch. Bring the hands to the low back. Now draw your ribs toward your chest. Notice how my heart moves toward my chin. Then one leg at a time, you draw the legs up. Moving them that way. I'm pointing with my foot toward the Buddha. So I'm moving them toward the booty side of my body. And then I engage my feet to get some real juice, some real livelihood out of the legs. Now, if this feels like it's not for you, you can also come to half shoulder stand where your weight is, you're really supporting your hips with your hands. Your legs are still sort of extended straight, but they're doing so in a different angle. My spine is still straight here. It's just in a different angle to the earth. So I will come out now and be around to answer questions, to offer tips, to be your cheerleader, or if you've decided like, oh, I don't want to do this, I will give you something juicy. The blanket under your head, I'm afraid that you could sort of cause weakness over time to your cervical spine. So if you like the blanket, place it under your shoulders. Let me pull this up for you so that your head is off of it. Yeah, that way up, just like that. So that you don't weaken your cervical spine. Yeah. Yeah, you can even scooch that way a little bit so that you're the tops of your shoulders are just sort of, yeah, there you go. Beautiful spine. Does it feel good?
Yeah.
Good, good.
I think you're not done for me.
Okay. Yeah, oh, no, I'm just offering. If you want any support, I'll give it to you.
Okay.
Thank you. And if you want anything from me, wave at me, wiggle your toes at me, or just say, hey, Kelly, come over here, please. So we're just sort of recirculating the prana in our body. We're stimulating the thyroid here. All inversions are really wonderful for our endocrine system, our metabolism. And the thyroid particularly is stimulated when we're here in shoulder stand. Wonderful. So, if you have had enough and you would like to try something new, I thought with our feet toward the wall, sort of being able to use the wall in halasana or plow pose would be great. Now, let's see, can I use you as a little demonstrator? So begin to lower your feet toward the wall. Yeah. Now, engage your legs. Really press the balls of your feet into the wall. Yeah. Good. How does that feel? A little uncomfortable. Come up a little bit. Good. How are... there. Okay. Yeah. Good. So what we want to do... I'm actually going to have you come out a little bit again.
Okay.
Because where we're going... Roll on down. Where we're going in halasana, when we're practicing in this style of yoga, if we're not practicing yin yoga, which works something slightly differently, we want our spine straight. We want our hips over our shoulders in order to sort of protect our spine long term. I'm sorry, I'm coming back too fast. And so by using the wall, we can engage our legs and really just sort of integrate our entire body here. And it's nice to sort of come into it the same way. Let's see, how far am I? And so, as with most things, this sort of depends on how, your distance from the wall depends on your particular body, the length of your torso, the length of your legs. So it may take a couple of times. What works for me, probably not going to work for anyone else. Okay, so come on back. Bring the palms of your hands to the floor.
Yeah.
And did I tell you to switch away a little bit from last time?
No.
I think I want you to go down. There you go. Press the palms into the earth. Now draw your knees toward your chest. Now hoist your hips up over. Yeah. Good. Now bring your hands to your low back. Good. Now, what I'm going to have you do is, your feet are going to be up a little high because eventually I am going to have you move a little bit farther that way, but we'll do this just for now. Good. Now, I'm seeing lots of goodness. The hips are over the shoulders. Ideally, I want him to move even farther toward the other end of the mat so that it's not uncomfortable here to stack the hips over the shoulders. So we're going to engage the feet, press them into the wall. Use your hands for support, even if normally you wouldn't here. Come on down, hang a little bit. Everybody, let's do this. Unless you don't want to, of course. I'll be around. And the reason I like practicing like this is, I don't know about you, but I always feel like a lot of pressure to put my feet on the floor in halasana. Which, if you've got nice, untight hamstrings, like some of you I know do, it can mean one thing, but for us blessed with the tight hamstrings, it can be like a nightmare, and you just get yourself all whack-a-doodle with your spine, sort of trying to overcompensate for your hamstrings. Oh, good. Good stuff. Wave at me if you would like any support, but right now I'm seeing all good things. So this might inspire you at home to practice this posture a bit more frequently, Or you might be thinking, as I often do, oh, I see a way for me to make this to a more restful pose by placing even a chair under my feet. And then I really don't have to do much work here, and I can experience the juiciness of the deep forward fold that you're in without the work. I don't know, that might just be me always looking for a way to make the pose restore. Wonderful, so we're still inverting, we're still getting all of those benefits of being upside down, but we're also forward folding, so we're releasing some tension in the mid to low back. Also very powerful for our lower chakras. And there is, of course, no pressure to come out of this posture, but feel free to come out whenever you want. And the next place we will be going is a supported fish pose, supported Matsyasana. You can take your time to get there. Where the bolster is right under your heart center. So the top of the line of the bolster is just at your armpit. You can either have your head unsupported or supported by your blanket. The knees can either be bent or straight, or you can bring the soles of the feet together, or tent your legs by bringing the feet out and resting your knees together. Good. And so by practicing this posture after our shoulder stand, after our plow pose, we're just releasing any tension we may have created in our cervical spine. And if this doesn't feel like you're getting a release from it, let me know. Or if you would like some sort of alternative, although everyone looks pretty. Relaxed here. Now, any tension that you might be holding on your forehead, just dissipate. Melting down the sides of your face. Feel an opening through the throat. Stay exactly the way you are. But I also would invite you to Let's bring the palms together and rub them back and forth, sort of creating a little heat before placing the hands with intention across your body, sort of taking your right hand to the left side of your neck and upper shoulder, and taking your left hand across the body to your right neck and upper shoulder. Being there. And maybe removing the hands from that part of your body when it suits you, when it feels right, and bringing the heels of your hands to your forehead, letting your fingertips rest in your hair or on your hairline. And then perhaps with cupped hands, placing your hands over your eyes. Settling into this space. You feel completely at ease. Completely well. Completely.
let those small movements invite larger movement.
Rocking from side to side. Maybe stretching your arms up overhead. Finally, coming to rest on your favorite side. Allowing your practice to integrate, allowing your spine to integrate. Everything you feel now exists within you, exists around you at all times. The path back begins with your awareness, with your attention. You can begin again and again and again. Every time you become aware of your breath, and now as you are ready, take your time to come back to your luminous, light-hearted seat. Thoughts and words that are attributed to the Buddha, I thought would be sort of nice to leave you with today. We are what we think. All that we are arises with our thoughts. With our thoughts, we make the world. Sharing your practice. Please let me know if you have any questions or any comments. Enjoy your day.
Thank you.